Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later this hour, we're going to be talking about Hispanic voters. There are 2.2 million Latinos in Illinois, about 17% of our state's population. We'll talk to a researcher about a survey on what issues are most important to members of that demographic group and speak with Latina politicians, one Democratic, one Republican, about how their parties are trying to appeal to Hispanic voters. But first, you might have heard there was a debate last night. It was said to be the most anticipated presidential debate of many of our lifetimes, though it feels like people say that every 4 years. Nevertheless, we want to know what you made of it. You can join our conversation by giving us a call. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Did it leave you feeling energized, drained? Maybe it made you more likely to vote, or are you more dismayed about the state of American politics than before? Phone lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. To recap the debate and get a sort of veteran political reporter's perspective on it, we're joined now by Rick Pearson, who's political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Rick, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for coming on with me this morning.
Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure.
So I'm just trying to guess here. How many presidential debates would you say you've watched, ballpark? And, you know, after that, have you seen anything like what we saw last night?
Too many to count. That's the answer to the first question. The second one is no. I've never, ever, ever seen anything like what occurred last night. It was an embarrassment to democracy. It was an embarrassment to the political process. It was an embarrassment, quite frankly, on behalf of the President of the United States.
Yep. If there are any listeners who didn't get a chance to watch it, or we're not able to. I'm sorry, I'm getting a message from our producer. Are you able to hear me down the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great, Rick. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought we might have had some technical difficulties as we're doing this. You're on Zoom. I'm remote for COVID-19. All right, sorry about that.
No.
Back on track here. So the president was consistently interrupting Joe Biden. That seemed to be sort of like his main strategic goal. I guess I wondered, from your perspective, Rick, did the president set out what he seemed to be trying to do last night? I mean, was that throw Joe Biden off his game, or what? You know, what seemed to be his goal going into this debate?
Well, I think even a number of Republican analysts after the show said that they were dismayed that he came off as too hot. The fact that he was absolutely disregarding any kind of conventional rules for a debate, that he repeatedly over-talked and stepped on Biden when it was Biden's turn to talk, interjecting things. I mean, I think there was a two-pronged goal here. If you can get through what a mess it was, a two-pronged goal by the president was one, yes, to try to disrupt Biden, to throw him off his game, and two, was perhaps a more subtle attempt, which subtle and Donald Trump don't always go together, but I think it was an effort to try to create some distance between Joe Biden and the more progressive elements of the party in talking about things like the Green New Deal, those kinds of things. I mean, Biden did not have a great performance. But when someone is throwing all kinds of asides at you, many irrelevant, while you're trying to convey a thought, I mean, Biden did one thing that I don't recall Trump doing at all on the debate, and that was occasionally actually looking into the camera and trying to talk to the people. And, you know, going into this thing, I think we all knew this was going to be a contest of bully versus empathy. And I think more than anything else, the bully overshadowed. I think what we saw really with Trump was this is the latest iteration of the TV presidency that Trump has, and that in some respects, it's hard to take the president's performance last night and attribute it to the president as much as it was Donald Trump playing a character of a president.
Yeah, you know, I want to go to the phones now. We got a listeners, you're welcome to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. Jennifer in the suburbs, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for calling in. What did you make of the debate last night?
I was just very saddened by the whole ordeal. I think everyone kind of expected what was going to happen. I think the outcome was exactly that. I don't feel that the moderator was able to control the situation. And if we can't even expect, you know, respect each other enough to have both sides of opinions be expressed when we have huge problems going on in this country, I mean, I think it was just a disgrace. I've never seen anything like it. And I felt a little bit of despair and sadness for our country, because we have to pull ourselves together. And, you know, I would vote either way. Frankly, I just felt very sad, and I felt like perhaps, you know, other countries that are wanting us to fail, this is exactly what they're looking for. And I thought it was just disgraceful the way the whole thing was handled, and I was frankly surprised that there wasn't more control. There would have been a better, if we would have had Zoom and just muted each person when their time was up, that would have been a better, I mean, my children are home, are, you know, going through e-school right now, and they have to respect their teachers, and they have to respect each other. And, you know, I mean, gosh, I feel like they should have just been had their 2 minutes, and, you know, it has to be controlled. And I think that that's a shame.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your views there. John in Genoa, Illinois, thanks for calling in. What did you make of the debate last night?
I thought it was out of control, and I think they should have had shut off mic phones or something to when people are not playing by the rules, to tell them.
Interesting. All right, John. Thanks for that. Rick, I mean, how about that? I mean, we're speaking with Rick Pearson, political reporter at the Chicago Tribune, about last night's debate, taking your calls at 800-222-9455. But Rick, I mean, the two candidates agree, you know, there's sort of like military, war treaty level negotiations, I gather, that go into these debates, right? And so I'm guessing that a mute button for the microphones in the moderator's hands was probably not something agreed to ahead of time, and therefore not something that would be permitted.
Right, that's correct. And you know, that's not to say that if there are no more debates, that there won't be elements of that. I mean, look, Chris Wallace was in a horrible position last night, and I'm could he have handled things better? Absolutely. But the problem is, you know, Chris Wallace went into this as if it would be a conventional debate. The trouble is, with Trump, you have an unconventional president, an unconventional politician, a politician that doesn't follow convention. And I'm not sure that, you know, it's hard, trust me, to be a guy to try to tell the president of the United States to be quiet. Okay, that's not in the nature of any of us. And even Biden's taking some heat for telling the president to shut up. But when things got so out of control, that's the only logical response. And you saw Chris Wallace admonish the president that, hey, your camp agreed to the rules, the 2 minutes for each side, follow the rules. And following rules is not something that this president does regarding, you know, conventions and institutions.
Yeah, and as somebody who will be moderating a congressional debate next week, though hopefully with two somewhat more conventional candidates than Chris Wallace had to deal with the president, I do feel some sympathy there, because as you said, I mean, there were attempts where he said, you know, Mr. President, may I get my question? I would like to ask the question. I'm the moderator here. And it almost plays into Trump's sort of overarching message about the media if the moderator is seen as fighting with him as much as Joe Biden is, right, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is also part of the playbook, is that, you know, even though Chris Wallace works for Fox News, the overarching message that Trump has portrayed is the grievance that, you know, the media is out to get him. And that was absolutely part of the playbook of the kind of listing of grievances that he brought before the American people last night.
So we talked a few minutes ago about what President Trump was trying to accomplish, and you mentioned this idea of putting daylight between Joe Biden and some of the more liberal members of the or progressive members of the Democratic coalition. But it seemed like he was also, and you know, mixed messages, and who knows exactly how, you know, the president's messaging strategy seems to change from minute to minute sometimes in this campaign. But he was also, you know, accusing Joe Biden of being a socialist and saying he was captured by that wing of his party. What do you think Joe Biden himself was trying to accomplish here, right? I mean, you know, the president has been calling him Sleepy Joe for more than a year now. Was, I mean, did he just have to, you know, what was his job? Did he just have to show up and you know, appear presidential enough and competent enough?
I mean, the bar was pretty low, let's face it. And I mean, even Trump's people in the hours leading up to the debate were insisting that in campaign materials, that Biden be checked for a secret electronic earpiece. I mean, you know, it's all playing into that kind of framing that the Trump campaign was trying to do. But, you know, but Biden just had to present himself as, you know, being someone that was listening to the American people. And when you look at both sides, and what do you traditionally have in a debate is, what are your positions? What do you plan to do? What do you plan to do if you win this office? You didn't really hear that from the president. You heard Biden talk about clean energy jobs. You heard him talk about support for not only Obamacare, but an expansion of the Affordable Care Act. But you also heard Biden trying to do it in a way that it was not socialized medicine for all, that it was not single payer, as Bernie Sanders and other elements of the more left of the Democratic Party have pushed, that he was trying to bring himself across as that more kind of centrist Democrat, that quite frankly, that's the way politics used to work, is that, you know, the parties play the extremes to the primary and then kind of come back to the middle towards when you get closer to the election.
Let's listen to a clip from the debate. One of the moments getting the most attention was President Trump's message to the Proud Boys, which is a right-wing group. The Southern Poverty Law Center designates them as a hate group. This begins with moderator Chris Wallace asking the president to denounce the white supremacist groups that consider themselves as Trump supporters.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing
to specifically
that, but
do it?
Well,
go
ahead,
say,
sir. I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name. Give me a
white
name.
White supremacists and
right like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a
left-wing.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious. That's what his FBI... His FBI director
Gentlemen,
said.
Well, then, gonna, you know
no,
what?
No, we're done, sir.
Everybody,
we're moving on to the next. We're
okay, so the president, you know, he starts by saying, okay, I'll denounce them. And then he says, stand back and stand by. And then later in the debate, when the moderator asked him about, there was a question about the integrity of the election, he encouraged his supporters to go watch the polls, not in a way that was like sign up to be a legitimate poll watcher through the election authorities, but just go to the polling places and watch what's happening. Rick, we need to take a break in about a minute here, but I mean, is it clear what the president was saying? Stand back and stand by.
I think certainly it was. And I think people wanted to hear a repudiation, and he didn't give one. He absolutely flat out had the chance. Sure, I'll do it. And when given the chance, he didn't. And in this time of racial turmoil, racial division, the need of restorative justice. No, it's the other side, is the president's answer.
Listeners, the phone lines are still open. We have a caller waiting. Please hang on. You can join the conversation at 800-222-9455. We also did get some texts in from our listeners. Mary and Marshall says she is for Trump and watching the debate. I don't know why anyone would vote for Biden. But on the other hand, we did have people saying the debate was very difficult to watch. Some turned it off after 5 minutes. That was PJ in Springfield. Rachel in Urbana said they need to change the debate format so that the mics are shut off when people aren't supposed to be talking. We're going to have more of your reaction and more conversation with Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune coming up after a short break. Again, the number 800-222-9455. And then later in the show, we'll be taking a deep dive into Latino voters in Illinois and around the country. This is the 21st. Stay with us. More to come after a short break. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Rick Pearson, political reporter at the Chicago Tribune, about last night's presidential debate between President Trump and former vice president, current Democratic nominee Joe Biden. I also want to, listeners, we always invite you not only to join our conversations live during the show at 800-222-9455, but after hours, you can always leave us a voice memo with what's on your mind. I want to play now. We got a call from Susan in Urbana.
Hello, I'm Susan calling from Urbana, Illinois, commenting on the presidential debates last night. I watched the entire debate. It was a very painful, disappointing. It was not a debate. It showed me that the president is dangerous. It did not change my vote. I will vote for Biden. He wasn't my first choice. But I think it's important to elect a person who is competent and presidential. Thanks.
And as I said earlier, we got a number of texts as well. Some Wilbur and Rantoul said there wasn't a winner last night. There definitely was a loser, America, with the little crying emoji after that. And then Farouk in Savoy said it was nauseating to watch. Trump ran roughshod over every rule to which the two candidates had agreed, except the one against shaking hands with the opponent, and was utterly incoherent throughout. Biden tried to honor the rules and respect the process, but often looked ineffectual as a result. Rick, how about that? I mean, did Biden, we were talking before the break, did he do what he needed to do for his supporters, these alleged swing voters that are out there, this very small percentage of Americans who say they're still undecided on this presidential election? Rick Pearson, are you still with us? Rick, did Joe Biden do what he needed to do in terms of trying to appeal to whatever swing voters might be left out in the country?
I don't know. I don't know that he got that opportunity to really because of just what a mess this was. I don't know if people hung with this debate enough to want to hear the things that they don't know about Biden. I mean, I'm not sure any minds truly got changed by this debate because just of the lack of the ability to convey information for the undecided voters that are left.
Yeah. I want to go down to the phones again. 800-222-9455 is the number. Jim in Springfield, you're on the 21st. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, you're welcome. I was with some family members last night, and we were, by the end of the debate, utterly exhausted. It was almost overwhelming at points because there was Wallace was yelling and Trump was yelling and Biden was trying to chime in, but also still very, keeping good restraint, really. And whenever Biden was kind of goaded into speaking up, I kept saying, Biden, shh, don't play up to this. Just let Trump burn himself out. And of course he never does. And yeah, utterly, the thing was just overwhelming. And to cap on what was last just said, that I almost feel like it's hard to believe that anybody is still on the fence. You know, if you're Trump's just good at making himself look bad and looking like a bully, and I think Biden did a good job overall, even though a little confused here and there. But
so Jim, you stuck with the debate for the whole thing. I mean, do you plan on watching the remaining debates in this series, assuming they happen as scheduled?
Yeah, I do. I'm an utterly, I heard the mention of a TV president before, and it's true. It's extremely entertaining at this point. It's not political, not presidential. It's not the way politics has really been in the past, and it's an entertaining watch. As bad as it is.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Well, thanks for sharing your perspective with us. I want to just play one last clip here. Because he mentioned, you know, the president attempting to throw Biden off, and it really got nastily personal at one point when the president went after one of Joe Biden's two sons, Hunter. It came as Biden was talking about his other son, Beau, who died in the middle age from cancer several years ago. Let's take a listen to this.
My son was in Iraq. He spent a year there. He got the Bronze Star. He got the Conspicuous Service Medal. He was not a loser. He was a patriot. And the people left behind were heroes.
Really?
And I resent.
Are you talking about
hell.
Hunter? Are you talking about
I'm
Hunter?
I'm talking about my son, Beau Biden. You're talking about
Beau. I don't know Beau. I know Hunter.
Yeah,
Hunter,
you know,
got thrown, Hunter got thrown out of the military. He was thrown out, dishonorably discharged.
That's not true.
For
it wasn't dishonorably.
Cocaine use. And he didn't have a job until you became vice president. Once you
None
became vice president,
true.
He made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow,
that is simply
and various
not
other places.
True.
He
my
made
son,
a fortune.
Gentlemen, my son.
And he didn't have a job.
My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it. He's worked on it. And I'm proud of him.
But why was
I'm proud
he given
of my
tens
son.
Of millions of dollars?
But he wasn't given tens of millions of dollars. That is totally, that's
President
been totally
Trump,
discredited.
President Trump, we've already
discredited.
We've already been through this. I think the American people would rather hear about more substantial subjects. Well, you know, as the moderator, sir, I'm going to make a judgment call here.
I know, but when somebody gets $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow,
let's talk about
it.
What a mess. Rick, we need to end the conversation because we have other topics we're going to be talking about on the show today. But what's your best sense of whether there will be, you know, additional debates in this vein if they're, you know, absent some significant rule changes? Or I guess the next one's more of a town hall format, so maybe that shakes things up a bit. But do you have a sense of what's next in this?
I mean, I don't. I mean, you know, I'm not sure there's anything in it for Joe Biden to continue, but if he says I'm not going to do the debates, then he gets attacked for that by the Trump camp. Unless some significant changes involving control are exerted here, this is just an empty exercise. And while, yeah, it might be entertaining TV for some, it's not entertainment. This is about our democracy. This is about all of our futures. At a time of economic unrest, civil unrest, and a pandemic, we deserve to have a real debate, not entertainment.
All right. Rick Pearson is political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Always great to talk with you, Rick. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Brian.